Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, we bring in the outstanding Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. We're fit to be tied.
As always, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me in this lovely tied-up week we've got here in Pittsburgh.
Neil, I mean, I know the NFL's topsy-turvy. I know there are no great teams. I got it. But I really thought they would just handle business, move on no matter what, because Detroit's just that bad. And to Detroit's credit, I thought made a series of losing plays and got away with it. What did you think watching this soap opera play out?
Honestly, my thought was, going back to the beat reporter days, doing the game story on deadline, that's one of those nightmare games in which you write 17 different versions of the game before you finally get it done. And then when it's finished, it's like, this still doesn't even tell the story of everything we just saw. I mean, it was a cacophony of errors top to bottom on both sides. Mm-hmm. And it really was a point where, to be cliche, neither side seemed to want to be able to win the game. You know, yeah, they had their opportunities and they gave it away. You don't see, I'm not going to research the illustrious history of ties in football, but I'll bet you're not going to find many in which the game ended in a tie after one team lost two fumbles and the other team recovered both of those fumbles. You won't see a team turn the ball over in overtime and tie. I mean, they lose. That's what happens in overtime.
Right, exactly.
For the sequence of events that we saw, probably starting midway through the fourth quarter to the end, it's largely unprecedented in my history. I mean, I haven't seen many games like that. But I will say, I took the Lions at 8.5 when that line first came out, and I thanked them for it. The Steelers are not 8.5 points better than anybody. And if we haven't figured that out by now, we probably should be looking more into our personal biases as to why we think they are better than anybody else. The stat that I used leading into it, I think I said this last week too, the Lions were a team that had lost six games by 8 points or more, mm-hmm, and had lost the other two games on 50-plus yard field goals at the end of regulation. Which of those two teams, by those descriptions, are the Steelers? The team that wins by 8.5 points or the team that wins on a last-second field goal?
Yeah.
Clearly, to me, it's obvious which one that is. And Detroit had the ability to run the football. If they can't do anything else, they could run. Now, I did not expect what we saw, as far as the second and third quarter, in which the Steelers just, decided to not bother covering their gaps at all and watch Detroit running basic stuff. They didn't do anything inventive in their run game at all. They ran it at them.
That's right.
And usually the Steelers' back seven was nowhere to be found, and they ran wild. That kept them in the game. When they finally got that figured out, the Steelers stopped them on 8 straight drives.
Right.
That's really more
exactly
what the Lions' problem is. They can't be consistent, but every team in the NFL can put 2 good drives together, 3 good drives together. In Detroit's case, they got 3 scoring drives and missed an extra point and wound up tying the game. The Steelers, their highlight was the 2 turnovers in the overtime period, and both of which were, to be fair, great defensive plays, in my opinion. I think that the Deontay Johnson fumble was far more detrimental than the Freiermuth fumble was. Looking it up in the game book right now, so they stopped him at the 38, which is where Freiermuth fumbled.
Yeah.
Let's say that he catches there and he's out of bounds with nothing else happening, with probably 3 seconds left on the clock. That's a 55-yard field goal for Boswell in bad conditions, which mm-hmm would have been a Heinz Field record. There's a reason why the Heinz Field record is 54 yards. I think it's 54 or 55 yards. That's the longest anyone's ever hit a field goal in that stadium. The stadium's been up for 20-some-odd years.
Right.
You don't hit field goals of that length at that stadium.
Especially at this time of the year. Early in the year, you can. Early in the year, you can. The field's good early in the year.
Exactly.
It's sunny out. The ball travels further. It's warmer. You get to mid-October on a 50-yard field goal, they carry you off the field.
yeah, in mid-October on, at some point after one of those games, they're replacing the entire surface for a reason.
Yes.
That's what they're doing right now, as far as I know. They're currently resodding it as we speak. Kicking off of that is not easy. And certainly we saw that the Lions had a problem with that. They missed a field goal in overtime. I didn't even mention that part. I mean, I don't know how many missed field goals there are in overtime, but they're not many. And for the game to end in a tie after all of that, it was just bizarre. And frankly, what I said during the game is the Steelers earned every bit of that. And that really is what I've been seeing all year, the ups and downs of this team, the peak and valley mentality that they're going to have as a younger team that isn't nearly as talented as people think that they are. They're not terrible, but they're not good enough to show up and beat any team in the league. I don't care if they've won a game or not. And we saw that. We saw exactly that throughout almost five full quarters of football. They are not able to just show up and not play well and pull off victories. And that's the Steelers team we're going to need to get used to. And it's going to get a lot harder for them the rest of the way. We certainly saw why in what should have been the fifth of a five-game winning streak for them, which would have been, in my opinion, remarkable for who they are as a team. But what we saw was probably closer to where the team really is than what we saw before that.
Yeah. So now let's get to personnel. What update do you have on Ben Roethlisberger, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick?
Oh, let's see. There's a slew of injuries, which is another point that I made.
Yeah.
This is a 7-10 season for this team if they are healthier than not. And I think after this past week, what we're seeing is one of the most injured teams in the league.
Yeah.
They did not rule Ben Roethlisberger out, but they might as well have. By all accounts, it sounds like he's not going to play.
Wow.
You can put your conspiracy theories hat on about why it is that he's not going to play, but for him to be all but ruled out early in the week doesn't sound very good. So,
no, it doesn't. I mean, to have that happen on a Tuesday, like, wow. Everybody kind of felt like Thursday he'd be back.
Yep, that was kind of the thought. I don't want to say the expectation, but that was the thought. They're clearly preparing for him not to play. And, you know, they're the ones in the position to know that, and they're right. Acting accordingly.
Exactly.
Probably smart. I might argue that, you know, this might be kind of like, well, you know what? He's already missed one. Let's let him miss another one because we need him in a 17-game season this year. He fell apart at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
In their 17th game, mm-hmm. they got absolutely housed because he didn't play particularly well mm-hmm. until, you know, the second half.
Right.
So we need him to last. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe. I don't know. I think they're just dealing with, you know, the obvious ramifications that are going to come with a guy coming off COVID. It sounded like he was pretty symptomatic. So there's a fatigue factor that comes with that. You've got to get your conditioning back. And along those same lines.
And we know Mink is out. He's not going to play,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Shame on me. I don't know if Mike used the words he is out, but he's not going to play. He's not expected to play. That puts I don't even remember what the combination of players they would have back there for him, but probably a rookie taken in the seventh round. Trey Norwood, who's played very well, is going to get a start against a good passing team on the road. That's not even the worst of the Steelers' problems, but that's not a great thing. I assure you, the Los Angeles Chargers are looking at that pretty clearly this week. That's going to be a focal point of their offensive game plan, and they have a pretty good passing team. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be trouble. We got the update on T.J. Watt. So really, the three most prominent Steelers players are not looking good for this week. I feel bad for the out-of-town fans that are going to see the Steelers play. They're not getting a lot of them. They're getting what looks like a preseason squad out for this game. But MRIs were negative on T.J. Watt's knee and his hip, which I thought was interesting. The team announced during the game that he was questionable to return due to a hip injury, whereas I think everybody looked at what looked like a knee injury.
Right.
Turns out he had both. I don't know. You know, I'm not an exercise trainer. I don't know the ins and outs of all of that, but the knee looks like something that might keep him out for a little bit. I wouldn't expect him to play this week. We didn't get much on Melvin Ingram, but he's going to be day-to-day. K- Kevin Dotson, on the other hand, was listed as week to week, which pretty much means he's not going to play this week. So you are looking at least one backup offensive lineman at a position they don't have any depth, looking to start again on the road, perhaps two of them. You might lose both of your guards. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to deal with that. DJ Finney is probably going to get the start at one position, and I would imagine J.C. Hassenauer will play the other, but you've got a guy that's going to be playing outside of what they have normally played with the Steelers, if at all, this season, playing as far as their interior offensive line goes. So that's going to be problematic for him, to put it mildly. Not having T.J. Watt on the field is definitely worse than having him on the field.
Right.
I don't know if Taco Charlton helps that at all, but I doubt it. Oh. The reason he's in Pittsburgh is because he's not T.J. Watt. Famously, you know, the biggest highlight of Charlton's career to this point is he's the guy that the Cowboys did not take ahead of the Steelers, who then took T.J. Watt. So to have Charlton on the roster and now in a position to replace T.J. Watt, I find interesting, to put it mildly. Rough situations for both sides of the ball for the Steelers heading into this game as far as injuries go. I don't know what they have to do other than, you know, you've got to plow through it. That's just the way it goes in the NFL. Everybody gets tough injuries, and they're in for a very interesting combination of personnel heading into this game.
Yeah, no question. All right. So I know the conditions dictated certain things, but what was your thought on Mason Rudolph?
I did not think he played well.
No, I didn't either. I didn't either. I mean, you just tell he seemed out of sync and rushed.
It's the funny thing is you go out to a steak restaurant and somebody asks you how it was. Your first thought is commenting on the steak.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me more Steelers fans in support of Mason Rudolph are talking about the baked potato or the ambiance or the music. Not the main course.
Right.
The interception he threw was horrendous. Mm-hmm. Really, really bad after a very good first drive. I thought he looked sharp. They had a good plan. He didn't get help with, you know, kind of a rough snap on that one play, but he caught it and delivered the ball where it needed to go, put a good ball on Deontay Johnson for a completion. We didn't see that again from Rudolph the rest of the game, in my opinion. I don't care if he completed 30 passes in five quarters or not. He wasn't sharp. He missed a lot of third downs, most notably the third and five late in the game to continue a drive that they needed to have. He missed him badly, probably because he's throwing the ball way harder than he should, which would have led Deontay Johnson to catch the ball up the field
right
in the crosshairs of the safety or the linebacker, who would have cleaned him out. Johnson stopped or slowed down at least for that exact reason. They needed that completion. They didn't need yards as much as they needed the completion. He was past the sticks. He got open on his stem. Rudolph's got to put the ball on him. I mean, I'm sorry, but you're playing in the NFL. You've been here for four seasons. You've got to complete that pass.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of them. I'm not even bringing up I don't know what happened on the wide open pass. It should have been a touchdown to all of a sudden the Jerry Rice rejuvenated Ray Ray McLeod.
Yes.
He's getting 14 targets in the game.
Yeah.
Ray Ray had the chance to score an NFL touchdown. You know, it's wide open. He's right there. No reason, no pressure, no reason Rudolph should not have put that ball on him, and he missed badly,
right. Really
badly. Those are shining examples of poor passes, and every quarterback has that. But it seemed to me the critical downs, Rudolph missed a lot. He didn't throw catchable balls. The pass he threw to James Washington, he put up a jump ball to a 5'11 receiver with a defender in front of him. He underthrew it naturally, and that should have been picked off, and it wasn't. But yes, it was a nice throw to Washington to get the touchdown that he got, but way more bad throws than good ones. It was not a good game for him. I don't care what his stats suggested. It was not a good passing game for Rudolph at all.
I don't think the stats even suggested that, to be frank with you. So now the matchup with the Chargers, where there'll be more Steeler fans there than Charger fans. I mean, it'll feel like a home game, except with warm weather. But what about the matchup, Herbert, Bosa, James? What's your thought on all that?
Chargers are a good football team. They have a lot of talent. I think they're coming together It's similarly to where the Steelers are kind of hoping to be in a year or two. They've got to rebuild. They've got to strengthen themselves up a bit. But they're a good football team. They've won some games this year. I think they started off hotter than what they're at now. But it's a good team. They're capable of beating, you know, I think pretty much anybody in the NFL. You have talent like that. I didn't get a chance to really dive into the recent loss of the Vikings, but that was a tough competitive game. One I'm sure that they would want to have back. But it's a young team that's going to play its second straight game at home. You always got to worry about that situation when you're traveling cross country. When you're the Steelers, the Chargers barely have to move at all. They almost get a full day of preparation in their backyard that the Steelers don't get to have. So it's tough. They're a good team. They fight hard. They're competitive. Great passing game. Like I said, Justin Herbert does a lot of really good things for them, and we're seeing the results of that. You never know what Austin Eckler is going to do as far as injuries go. I don't think he's been ruled out yet, but you never know. Keenan Allen's a guy that put a couple good games on the Steelers in recent years. So a lot of things that they can do. They're diverse, talented roster. They distribute the ball pretty well. This is not a good matchup for the Steelers. Overall, it might not be the most talented team they have to play left, but I don't think they match up well with this team. I forgot Joe Hayden in the injury report as well. They might have two guys in the secondary down. They're going to struggle. I don't like their chances in this game very much. They're going to need to figure out a way to probably come up with something that the Chargers aren't expecting, because that's pretty much all they have left to do.
I felt this was an uplifting conversation. Thank you.
It's been a fun couple days.
Thank you so much, Neil, for raising
her post game podcast.
Oh, I'm sure it was a doozy. Yeah. I feel better, you know. And tonight, our gang will talk about it even more. But you know, they'll probably be even have different words than you, and they won't be nice. All right. Neil,
I wish them luck too. It'll
yes,
be a fun week.
Yeah, yes. Neil, a pleasure. Thank you so much, my friend.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.